Well, welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you this day. We've been talking about depression, but before we do that, I want to do a little housekeeping. I just want to remind everyone to like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of help, as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. And there also we have, on our Facebook page, we have recordings to, or the links to the recordings of prior broadcasts. Now, some of you are complaining that you're having difficulty finding some of the other broadcasts. You'll probably better find it on the Facebook. You know, whenever I try to search for them on the Blog Talk Radio site, sometimes there is little twists and turns that it may take to find it. But if you're struggling with that, to go to our Facebook page, Help Relationships 102, minus exclamation mark, and then you should see them with little difficulty and be able to, at your convenience and leisure, listen to some of the ones that you've missed. It's a great selection. I think that you'll learn from it. You know, depression is a powerful, powerful, powerful demon, as it were. And I know so many couples that one or two, but mostly one, will suffer with depression to the expense of their family life and their marriage. And it's an amazing thing. I recently lost a friend who had a lifelong bout with depression. And I hadn't seen him in many years, although we kept loose contact. But he recently drank himself to death, and it broke my heart. I didn't know any of this. I hadn't seen him probably in 20 years, but we still kept pretty loose contact with each other. He was a beloved brother whom I loved dearly, and his loss really actually impacted me. But when I spoke to his wife, she began to tell me his story, and I had no idea. And it sounded so similar to so many other stories I hear in many of my sessions. And dealing with depression, the thing about depression, a lot of times you implode. There's a difference between exploding and imploding, although those with depression can explode and implode. But when you implode, you're just beating yourself down. And you're just beating yourself down. The Bible talks about the good fight of faith. Well, in depression, I'm convinced, though, that there comes a point that we're no longer fighting the devil, but ourselves. You know, the devil, he may set some certain things in motion, but after a while, he can leave us to our own devices. We beat ourselves down. Isn't that right? The thoughts won't come to us. We will generate them ourselves. There's some thoughts that will come to you, and those are the ones that the devil brought. But there's some thoughts that come from you, and those are the ones that you've been trained to receive. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And you begin to proclaim and demean yourself and beat yourself down and say all manner of ugliness to yourself and paint yourself in the worst light to yourself and curse yourself. And as I talked about in prior broadcasts, this actually is the fuel to the engine of depression. Your own words spoken against you, your own cursings against you, the accepting of the worst about yourself, and then allowing those words to spew out of your mouth. You know, Jesus actually says, he says that it's not what goes within a man's mouth that defiles him. Remember, they were back in those days, certain things they couldn't eat. And they were concerned about eating unclean food. And then Jesus said, you know, it's not what goes in a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out. For out of his mouth comes rivalings and murder and adultery. And so what Jesus is saying is that when those thoughts come out of your mouth, the Bible says your words defile you. And I'm speaking from a spiritual context for some of you that hear it. But the words, think about this. The Bible says that on the day of judgment, that we will be judged by our every idle word will be judged. Our every unproductive word will be judged. Isn't that something that Jesus said, that when we stand before judgment? See, some of us saints, we're not going to be judged on whether or not we go to heaven or hell. But we'll be judged on our words, because our words have substance. Remember, if God's word created the universe, okay, by faith. So you create your world, your universe, by faith, you see. And your words defile you. So if you're saying all manner of ugliness to yourself, and you're speaking depressed words of anger at yourself, and you're talking to yourself and saying the worst possible things to you, you are defiling yourself with your own words. Those words have substance in the realm of the spirit. I don't want to get into a message about words, but you will defile yourself and you will bring yourself under depressing thoughts, and your body will regulate its chemistry according to your word. You will create, just like the worlds were created by the word of God, so your world is created by your word. And so it's best to put God's word in your mouth, or else you will be down, you'll be put down and held down by your own words. And the devil won't have to bother you at that point, because you're not fighting the devil. Right now you're fighting you. And so there comes a time where you're going to have to make up your mind. And to, no matter how much you, how badly you feel about yourself, and how low you feel, and how angry at yourself. Because often, as we discussed in the first broadcast, that depression is anger turned inward. And so you can be angry with yourself. I find that happens a lot with people who have been victimized. If people have been molested and raped and taken advantage of in really hard fashions, they tend to be angry with themselves for allowing themselves to be victimized, for allowing themselves to fall into certain traps, for allowing themselves to permit terrible things to happen to them, and they're angry with themselves. And so as a result, their depression is birthed from those words of anger spoken against themselves. And they feel low, they are low, and they speak lowliness. And so I always say, in the battle of depression, the very first thing you got to get hold of are your words. Because your words, the very words that you'll be judged for those of you that are saints, are going to be the very things holding you down. I always say, no matter what, no matter how you're feeling, and no matter what looks like, resist the urge to speak against yourself. Because actually, you're cursing yourself. You're bringing yourself, in a very real way, you're bringing yourself under a curse. That's right. You are cursing yourself, and you will feel the weight of that. And some of you, when you first begin to speak the ugly words to yourself, there'll be a sense of relief because you've got to vent a little bit. And it feels good, like a sense of relief to have vented. But the problem is you vented against yourself, and you've dug yourself into a deep hole, a pit, and even a grave. And the deeper the pit, the harder the climb out of it. Some folks have dug themselves so deep into the pit that their pit feels bottomless. But the irony is, the digging of the pit was done by the workings of their own words. And so the Bible says that I put before you this day life and blessing, death and cursing. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, and I command you to choose life. For the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. So I choose death. I choose darkness. I choose depression, despondency. I choose despair. I choose with my words. And I know so many folks that after they got the revelation of this, the Lord was able to deliver them out of the depression because God's work wasn't tied or hindered by their words. And that's something you learn, that if you don't feed the depression, God will deliver you out of it. God can do what medication can't do. If you will keep your words off yourself, if you will stop cursing yourself, if you will stop beating yourself down with your words, God will come and deliver you. He'll lift that off of you all by himself. He hates to see one of his children down. And so he's going to pick you up if you allow him and don't stop him with your words. And your words do have power to stop him. That's why he says on that final day, we're going to be judged by our every idle and unproductive word. Mm-mm-mm. And so we're going to talk about today some of the points of depression. And, Jesus, before he went into Gethsemane, do you know that he was depressed? That's what the Bible says. He said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Okay? And during this whole series, we're talking about different aspects of depression. We've talked about pillars and roots. We're talking about other aspects on the approach of depression. And the last 2 days, you can go back over and look. But we're talking about a whole other aspect altogether, and that's the dying process. Now, I don't mean physical death, but if y'all follow me here, Jesus said, my soul was sorrowful unto death. And the backdrop is that within hours, he was scheduled to go to the cross. First off, to endure that being beaten within an inch of his life, as some of you have saw captured in the Passion of the Christ. And then he was going to be nailed unto his own death. And so he said, this was hours before that. And he said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. He said, I'm so depressed, in fact. I feel like I could die from sorrow. My soul is sorrowful unto death. I'm so down. And so he was so down. So after the Passover, and it was weighing on him then, he said, one of you will betray me. And some of you remember that whole scene. And but the whole time he was down, and then finally he said, you know something? I got to go pray. My soul is sorrowful unto death. And now watch this. This was Jesus' solution for finding power over his depression. And we're going to talk about what that looks like. He was split down the middle, Jesus was. What he had to do was, he had to let go of what his flesh wanted. You see, he was split down the middle. Remember when he was in Gethsemane? He prayed, when he went to go pray in Gethsemane, he said, he prayed to the Father, his Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He said, for with you, all things are possible. Do you realize what he just said? He said, Father, if be thy will, let this cup pass. He said, Father, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do this. If it's your will, and if we could do this another way, let's do this another way. But then he finished off with a nevertheless, whatever you want. Now, he was showing us exactly where he is, because even as he prayed the prayer, the Bible said that Jesus sweat great drops of blood. Now, physicians today say that when a person can be under such duress that the capillaries in their forehead can break and they can very much sweat blood. It's under extreme nervous breakdown sort of conditions. But this is revealing because Jesus sweat blood and he was divided. He said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. I'm so down. I feel like that I could be swallowed unto death by sorrow. So much so that when he prayed, he sweat blood. He was in the, very much in the throes of a nervous breakdown. Oh, some of you have been there before. That's why the Bible said that Jesus was touched with the very feeling of your infirmity. He understood exactly how you feel. You who feel like you're at the end of yourself, that you're at the end of your rope, you who feel like you're at the edge of a nervous breakdown, or who are in the throes of a nervous breakdown. Jesus was touched with the very feeling of that infirmity. But this was Jesus' solution. He began to pray and say, not my will, but your will be done. But here's what this looks like in real time, in our time. He began to give that thing that he wanted to the Lord. He began to give himself over, and that which was dear over to the Lord. Ah, this is the dying process that we were discussing earlier. Sometimes, when you're depressed about something, you can want something so bad, and because you can't have it, you will find yourself being depressed. Who knows what I'm talking about? It may not be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. It could be a happy marriage. It could be a happy child. It could be a great ministry or a thriving business. It could be sobriety or freedom from jail, or freedom from addiction. It could be anything good, but you could want something so much. Your flesh, that half of yourself, wants what it wants so badly. It can even be a thing that God promised you, but you could want it in your flesh so badly that God will ask you to let it go. Isn't that right? And so Jesus had to let go in Gethsemane. He said, Lord, I give this over to you. Not my will, but your will be done. Oh. And so what happens is, often when you are depressed, some of you are preoccupied over something that you want really badly, but are unable to obtain or retain. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe you're lonely. You're believing God to send you someone. And you want it so bad that you're depressed because you don't have it. Does that know what I'm talking about? Or what if God has given you a promise and told you, I'm going to bless you in this way, I'm going to bless you in that way, and it doesn't happen that quick. And the want of it, the desire of it, your flesh's craving of it, makes you depressed. And you can tell it's made you depressed and that your flesh has taken hold of it, because it's why your soul is sorrowful unto death. And so Jesus knew he had to go to the cross. He knew coming into this world, that's why he came. But when the time came, his fleshy wanted what it wanted, okay? And so his solution was that as long as your flesh is in control, as long as your flesh is in power, the weaker you are. So Jesus went into Gethsemane to lay down his flesh, to lay down his self's desires. When we say flesh, we mean the mind after self. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. The mind after the spirit or the mind after the flesh. The Bible says that the spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. And so if my mind is after what my flesh wants or what I want, then I'm in a flesh mindset. I am after the flesh. When I want what I want because I want it. It could be a good thing, but the flesh wants it. It could be a God thing, but the flesh craves it and consumed by it and is obsessed with it. And so often what God will do is, now remember this, the Bible says that you have not because you ask not, Because when you do ask, you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. In other words, James says that you don't have it because you're not asking the Lord who wants to give it to you freely. He says, and then when you ask out of the flesh, you see. And so what happens is often we'll be brought to the point that we have to lay down what we want. Lay down our will. Lay down ourselves. And that's why Jesus went to Gethsemane to do. He was so sorrowful unto death, it showed him that his flesh needed to be laid down. And when he prayed according to where he was. Father, if there be any other will, let this cup pass. In other words, my flesh don't want this. Okay? The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. That's why when Jesus went out to get the disciples to pray with him and said, could you guys not tarry with me an hour? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was speaking from a sense of irony because that's exactly where he was. His spirit was willing to do what he came to do, but his flesh was weak. And then the solution was pray that you enter not into temptation, for the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And that therein was where the freedom of depression came. By acknowledging that the flesh is weak and to pray that you enter not into temptation. And that's what Jesus was there to do. He's in Gethsemane praying, all right? Because he had entered into temptation. Isn't that right? And so he began to lay down what he wanted. I don't care if it's that career or that job or that promotion. I don't care if that's ministry, that marriage, or something dear to you. Like you, maybe you've been locked up for a long time. You want to be free, or the Lord's given you a promise. He's going to free you, even though the judge said opposite. And or maybe you've been homeless and you want to be delivered from homelessness. And it's been a long time. And often what happens is our flesh has gotten in the way and has honed in it and has to be laid down. And you can tell that flesh is in the way because A, you're not receiving the promise. And B, you're depressed because of it. You're not receiving the promise. You're depressed because you're not receiving the promise. And so your soul can be sorrowful unto death. You could be so sad. You can be looking and be waiting on God to deliver you the very promises that he's given you. You could be waiting on him and crying out to him to bring about the very promised land that wherewith he's promised you, and depressed because you don't have it. Because you're looking for it, and you see it, but you don't have it. And wanting something, having an expectation. You know how we say that expectation brings devastation? Because if I have an expectation after the flesh, then I'm going to be depressed. It could be devastating. And so often, remember, the Lord's not going to let me into the gate of the promised land after the flesh. Because it was in the spirit that the kingdom of God came nigh to. And so I had to lay down my flesh. That's why I have to follow in Jesus' footsteps and enter into Gethsemane and lay down myself. We call it dying to self, okay? Laying down what I desire after the flesh. He's going to give it to me, but not after the flesh. He's going to give it to me after the spirit. So I have to lay down that side of myself that's depressed. I got to let it go. Someone said, I got to let it go. I got to let it go. I got to let it go. If you are down and you find that you are living down and that you are remaining down, it may be that you got to let it go. 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 You got to go to Gethsemane and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I give this to you for your will and your way. You know, if you have in your mind, you have an expectation because of a promise God gave you that's going to happen in a certain time frame, and you're getting older and it hasn't happened and your biological clock is ticking and it hasn't happened, you can feel down. And so you've got to let go of the details of how God and when God is going to do it. And keep your eye on the path that you're on, or you will find yourself fighting with depression. I know so many people that live in depression because expectation can bring devastation if that expectation is after the flesh. And the thing is, you don't know it's after the flesh, except that, that's right, you're depressed. You either have not received the promise, and you are depressed for not having the promise. And so the Lord is saying, hey, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss to consume it upon yourself. You make it about you. No. I want to raise you up and heal you. I want to restore you and bless the works of your hand. I've given you those promises because there's some things that I wanted to give you. I want to see you happy. And then the Bible says that Jesus said, in those days you haven't received because you haven't asked in my name. He said, ask and it will be given to you that your joy may be full. The Father, what the Father gets out of it, his reward, and what he gets out of blessing me, is to see a smile on my face, to see appreciation and thankfulness in my heart. He wants to see his child happy. Don't you know that God wants to see you happy, child of God? He's determined to see you happy, but sometimes you got to get out of your own way. Sometimes you got to go to Gethsemane and lay down yourself, lay down your grip and your idea of what God has promised you. Lay it down. How many know this was the problem that Abraham had? Abraham struggled because he didn't have a kid. And back in those days, if you didn't have children, you were thought to be a girly man. You were looked upon in the worst possible light. So Abraham lived most of his life rejected because he and his wife didn't have kids. So when God promised him a kid and promised him the answer to his prayer, guess what? Fleshy got in the way. Fleshy got, man, you mean, first of all, I get a kid, but I don't got to be a girly man anymore. And people can see, even as I've birthed a kid in my old age, I am the man. You see, it's easy to get caught up in wanting the blessing, desiring the blessing after the flesh, when God is not giving it to you after the flesh. You got to let your flesh go. You got to set your flesh aside. That's why Jesus had to go to Gethsemane before he could go to the cross. He had to lay himself down before he could walk out what God called him to do. And so sometimes you can want the right thing, but for the wrong reason. God can give you a promise for something good, but your flesh wants it for the wrong reason. Your flesh be wanting for look at me sake. It wants to look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at this business. Look at this ministry. Look at this beautiful wife. Look at this beautiful husband. Look at these beautiful kids. Look at this beautiful home. Look at me. Oh, to God be the glory, but look at me. Okay. And God says, I can't do it that way. I won't do it that way. And see, some of you learn to lay it down, but then after God begins to bless you, you pick it back up after the flesh. And what happens, it shuts down the process. It shuts down what God is trying to do. And so you'll live in depression. And that depression is an indication that you need to visit Gethsemane. God desires to bless you, child of God. God desires to bless you abundantly above what you could ask or think. Eye has not seen. Your eyes have not seen it, or your ears heard. You cannot imagine the blessing that God has for you. But he wants to do it, but he won't do it after the flesh. Lay it down, go into Gethsemane, and set yourself aside. Get out of your own way. Don't you know that the Lord Jesus has a plan for your life? And if you're in the mully grubs, and if you're struggling with depression, then let it go. Because the wanting it and the not having it can be very depressing. And if you can want something for a long time, and you'll be depressed for a long time. You have bouts of depression. Sometimes they'll be more intense than others, okay? But you have bouts of depression. But God wants you to know he doesn't intend you to be down. He's lifting your head right now. The Bible says that he's the glory and the lifter of your head. His hand is under your chin right now, lifting your head. Because there's good days ahead of you, child of God. God intends to bless you. God intends to reveal his promises to you and in your life. But you've got to go to Gethsemane and let it go. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it die. You've got to die to yourself. Before Jesus could let it go on the cross, he had to let it go in Gethsemane first. Jesus said that if any man be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me daily. That's right. Where was he going? He was going to crucify his flesh. You've got to do the same thing. Your flesh must be crucified. You must mortify the deeds of your flesh because God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan of good and not evil, and expecting a future and a destiny and not a fate. All those promises God has given you, he intends to fully realize. He intends to fully deliver of them all. Get out of your own way. Get out of God's way, because he's doing something special. He's doing it special, and he needs you to let him. He needs you to untie his hands, because the Bible says that the mind after the flesh cannot obey God, and neither is indeed subject to obeying God. So you're not even subject to walking with God so long as you want something after the flesh. Well, how do you know you want something after the flesh? Because you'll find that you're preoccupied with it, you're depressed about it, you don't have it, and you are preoccupied with what you don't have. You're looking at the thing after the flesh. But God is saying, let it go. What? How do I let it go after the flesh? By letting it go after yourself. Well, I just let it go. I let it go. Your will be done. If you want to take that thing, it's like Jesus said, Father, if your will is that I be marred more than any man, that I be crucified and then raised from the dead on the third day, then your will is my deepest desire. But he had to go to Gethsemane and pray before he could obey. He had to go to Gethsemane and set himself aside before he could walk with God. Because the Bible said that he offered himself up through the eternal spirit. Before you can go and do what you need to do, you got to go and pray. Unless you enter into temptation, you got to go and pray that you find God's will. And you will find that you will allow him to deliver you from your depression. You will enable him to deliver you from those depressing thoughts, from those depressing feelings, from those depressing ideas, from those depressing ideals. And you'll discover this, child of God. At first, this is going to be about, especially if you're clinically depressed, at first, it's going to be a little fight. but mostly you're going to be fighting yourself. But in a very short period of time, you'll discover that those depressing thoughts won't be there anymore. Once you learn to allow him to let God, he will deliver you himself. He delivered Jesus in Gethsemane because while he was praying, the Bible said that an angel came and strengthened him. So as you're in depression, God comes and delivers you from depression himself. He lifts, you feel it lift off of you. You feel the depression. And if you aren't feeding it yourself, then you allow him to deliver you. He'll be able to do what medication can't do, okay? Or even better than medication can do. I don't like the idea of being on medication for some people. It creates a zombie. Some people say, I'm more focused, but at what expense? It's created a zombie out of you. Your personality is shut down. Who you are is shut down, but at least you can focus better. Come on. God has a better plan for you, and he will regulate your body chemistry as you learn to not live in depression. Okay, well, our time has gotten past us. And I want to remind everyone to like us on our Facebook. We've got a lot of listeners. But leave some comments on the Facebook page or on the Blog Talk Radio page. Leave more comments and let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you'd like to hear more of. And we'll pray and see if the Lord will do it. So visit us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. Remember, no exclamation point at the other end of help. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you good afternoon and God bless.